You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Good evening, people. Welcome along to the forum. This is Day Tripping on a night when we will investigate four topics of your choosing. Joining me tonight is Andrew Young, below me. He is part of a new supporters group called the Militant Content Ultras.
Why is he doing this?
How are you doing this?
I was being professional there.
I thought you were doing an impression of, like, you know, the news over the radio in the 40s.
Yeah.
I thought you were doing an impression of, like, someone's being held hostage or something. From the news and tennis and ultras.
Ultras. You want to make a statement? Do you want to make a statement, Andy? That's what I want to.
How are you?
Good evening, lads. Welcome along to the forum. It is, of course, the forum. Join me tonight on the biggest podcast of the week. It is indeed Andy Young below me. It is Peter over here and down the corner. Pete, all the way from Barcelona. You didn't have restrictions. Now you have restrictions. And of course, on this side of me here, I can't get my hand in, but it's in.
Yeah, you're getting worse at this.
I'm so close to the camera.
I think you've lost that much weight. You've lost the pair in your arms to lift them and send them where you need to be.
It is. That's just. I want to get my hand into the screen to do this. Right. Normally we have four topics to talk about, but tonight we don't, because to be quite frank, myself and Andy were way too lazy to even think up stuff. And we thought, you know, it'll be great. We'll do a viewer's choice instead. So it's over to you. We want you to give us the topics. I think what's going to happen is we've already seen a couple come true. The ones that we think are worth debating, we will. But we don't just want Henderson transfers, FSG out, Liverpool, Origi's gone to West Ham. We don't just want them, right? We want something else. If Fernando Cheese wants to ask us what's the best cling film to use on a rampant rabbit, like, I'm happy to have that type of question tonight, right? So this is...
Because the video is marked not for kids, so we're good.
It is. It's not for kids. It's a grown-up kid, maybe, but not for real kids. And not for kiddults as well. Not for kiddults either as well. So, yeah, that's what we want to know. We want your topics. So I'm going to kick off. I'm going to try kill a couple of these at the outset, right? Because they've already asked us, and we've had the topic of the day, FSG are cheapskates. Henderson in, out, shake it all about. And Origi's off to West Ham, not off to West Ham. And Grujic has gone to somewhere, and Grujic goes to somewhere every single day of the week, but how and ever. Andy, as one of the militant Henderson ultras, whereabouts do you stand on all of the transfer knees that are going? Where's the transfer knees? How's your transfer knees today?
Yeah, it's mad. I don't know. When I was going to sleep last night, people were giving out yards about the club trying to nail Henderson down for a couple of extra years, and why we weren't signing loads of players. By the time I woke up, Henderson was leaving, and everybody was going absolutely bonkers that he was leaving. So that just sums up football Twitter and the modern hysteria that goes around. Henderson, I wouldn't say, has gone anywhere. It's just one of those things. It's a good opportunity to write a story. Everybody knows in The Athletic that if you write about Liverpool and someone who carries a little bit of, for whatever reason, a little bit of controversy like Jordan Henderson, everybody is going to go absolutely bonkers. So there's nothing going on. Write about Liverpool, write about Henderson, and that's all it's all about. And Henderson will stay.
Forever. Gav. Yeah. So I listened, Gav, I have to say, I listened to you last night, right? Mm-hmm. Today. Mm-hmm. When I saw this thing going off the charts.
One of millions who have done, yeah.
Yeah, definitely one of definitely five who've listened to it, right, in full.
Six.
Seven. All right, good man. Your man hasn't listened to it.
How long? Gav,
there was a lot of talk last night because this Grizz obviously is in the LFC ITK Ultras WhatsApp group where they get fed papyrus scrolls from the well of knowledge, and okay. There was talk about Henderson. The whole talk last night was about Henderson being renewed. So, mm-hmm. in less than 24 hours, we're now talking about Henderson leaving to join Atletico Madrid and PSG. So, mm-hmm. where's your head?
Nowhere really, on to be honest. Like I was saying to Pete beforehand, I've seen, and I don't know which publication it was, but I seen an article from the 18th of July saying that Henderson set to sign a new deal that will keep him at Liverpool for the rest of his career. And the same publication within 24 hours, possibly 12, saying that Henderson's Liverpool future is in doubt because the contract talks have broken down. And look, it's silly season. That's all it is. You know, the sort of way, like, there's no links to players. And, you know, you see journalists being interviewed and being asked and they've nothing to say. They have nothing to say. If you actually drill down into what they're saying nothing because they're getting nothing. I feel that, you know, people at the Athletic or whatever have been fed a line and they've gone with it. And wherever they're getting it from, they feel it's justified in writing that. But look, no comments from Liverpool, no comments from Jordan Henderson or any people close to Jordan Henderson. And a lot of stuff like it's understood and it's believed. Well, if it's understood or believed, who you're understanding or believing it from, just then listen, if the story's true, tell me who you're understanding or believing it from, and then we can have a discussion around it. Look, Jordan Henderson, like, I think Keith pulled it up last night, 12 Liverpool players, I think, have 2 years left on their deal. It'll be Jordan Henderson this week, and it'll be someone else next week. You know, it'll be Salah, it'll be Van Dijk, it'll be Mane, it'll be whoever, Firmino, whatever, Keita, Ox, there's loads of them. There is five or six there that you don't think will make an impact on Liverpool going forward, and they all have 2 years, but they don't get the clicks and they don't get the attention like Jordan Henderson would. For me, the discussions would have started and will continue. The agent does an awful lot of that work. The fact that Henderson's on holiday or being at the Euros is a factor, but you know, he would have discussed with his agent what he wants. I'd love to know who's initiated these talks with 2 years to go. I presume it would be the club, and now it could be somebody just having a miss and to see what he can get out of the club, and it might be his agent, it might not. But at the end of the day, he's 2 years left on his deal. There's no word from anyone in any official capacity with regards to this, so you just have to take it and see what happens. When it all comes around, Henderson will either be a Liverpool player to start next season with 2 years on his deal, or a Liverpool player with 3 years on his deal. I can't see him leaving. I think it'd be mental if he left. But right now, Phil, I'm looking at that thinking, you know, give me something more than it's understood and it's believed, and then we go from there. That's just the way I look at it.
Okay,
the story's a bit contrary.
Just hang on. The next Karoy came in there with one of those super chats. He says, pick your all-time Liverpool team to start the Premier League to play against the Premier League winning side of 2019-20. I tried, but I failed. To be fair, Dinesh, I think that's probably a good pod topic for one of the other shows during the week where we've done drafts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Where I think, Gav, that would be a great one for a draft where you take
the all-time Liverpool team.
Yeah.
From the start of the Premier League to play against the league winning team.
From 92 to 2019-20, right? And I'm assuming that you can't pick any of the players from 19-20 because they're
in the 19-20
that team, right? Yeah. You need to pick all the players that's not in. I think that would be a great either draft or show in itself, right? So, yeah, Dinesh, I think, thanks for the super chat. I think that's probably a pod topic in itself because I'm sure there'll be four lads who'd love to debate the different combinations you come up with there. Pete, I want to come on, and Andy, I'll come back to you now in a second in terms of what it is.
I hope I remember now, because I've no notepad with me tonight.
It's grand. You should have a bot that's trawling your mind.
Andy had one of those. You know those boards that are the man or woman that sits in the courthouse
and court reporter.
Taking it all down and just passing stuff over.
Stenographer.
Yeah, you know, right. That's what they are.
Pete, your take on the Henderson thing. And I'm going to lead. Now, go on, you take the Henderson thing, and then I'm going to give my take, and I'm going to rip an awful lot of the comments that are going on the side.
I was going to brief chat a little bit beforehand, and I'm in your camp, but, you know, I won't step on what you're going to say, because I think it rounded off nicely, Phil. But for me, I do agree with Gav. It's silly season. Agents have, you know, I mean, they're doing their jobs, and they have jobs to do. And this, I mean, I'm old enough to remember when there were no windows. You know, all season you could practically buy a player up until, you know, the last 4 weeks of the year. Now you've got two windows exactly to do as much damage as you can. Hendo's 31. He's represented by an agent who, if he wasn't, you know, throwing smoke around, he wouldn't be doing his job. Like any other player, he you know, his agency is doing theirs. That's my take. Don't think there's any of it. I'm agree with Andy as well. I think Jordan Henderson will be a Liverpool player. The only variable will be how long for, you know. So for me, I think it's much ado about nothing. It's very interesting to see everybody getting the knickers in a twist over the most responsible player we've had alongside James Milner in about 25 years. He's not going anywhere.
Okay, Cyber Symes has just given us another super chat. Henderson fought against being flogged to Fulham years back. He's been here 10 years now, and he's not going anywhere. And did you want a quick one before I go on a bit of a rant?
Yeah. No, that's a good point there by Cyber Symes. Like, these are the things we do know. You know, everything else in the last kind of 24 hours is being purely speculation. One of the stories is that the club have offered that he runs down his contract, and then they kind of give him year extensions after that, depending on fitness. And Jordan Henderson doesn't like that. So Liverpool are now talking about flogging him. Like, that is a complete and utter contradiction. It's Liverpool who want to keep him till the end of his contract. So they're happy enough that at that stage they may not want him, and he's free to leave, or else they might offer him a year contract. So why on earth would PSG and Atletico and everyone else be on alert? Because the club are in no willing position to sell him. We know that Klopp loves him. We know that Henderson loves Liverpool. We've seen that in recent documentaries, how much it meant to him to achieve what he has done at the club. So, like, these are the things we know. And we know how respected he is by the club. And we know how much influence he has around the club, the academy, the city, and how much he represents everything that's kind of going on at the moment. It just makes absolutely no sense that he would leave this summer. It's 100% just cheap journalism, opportunistic journalism. And everybody is all over the story, including us talking shite like that. He's going nowhere, lads.
Okay, here's my take, right? The guy's 31. He's got 2 years left in the contract, which takes him out to 33. It's not like the Genie situation whatsoever, because Genie is just turned 30. He's given us over 10 years now of service in terms of a player, and he's won us a Champions League and won us a league title. He's the most successful captain we've had in the last 20-odd years. He's the league-winning captain and deserves all the respect he gets. But ultimately, lads, we're talking about a guy who has 2 years left to run his deal. As Gav mentions, we have 12 players. We have some of the most important players who are under the age of 30 that we need to tie down to longer term contracts, because they've only got 2 years left to run. We've got Fabinho, we've Alisson, we've Mo Salah, we've who else is there? Van Dijk, to nail down. That's the spine of our team. If you put Kanate and all these other guys around him, but that's essentially the spine of the team that we want to build around. So if the club decided not to extend Henderson's contract and say, well, look, we'll hang on and see what happens at the end of the next 2 years, bang on, as far as I'm concerned. That's a gamble worth taking, because if it doesn't turn out, at 33, Henderson is not going to a bigger club. He's not going somewhere else. His best football is going to be behind him at that stage. And I don't mean this as a disrespect to Jordan Henderson, but at 31 and in the role he plays, he's not going to get quicker and he's not going to get fitter. He may be able to maintain his form the way Milner does in a limited number of games over the course of the season, but his value is not going to get greater. To take that FSG somehow or penny pinch him by not extending his contract, I'm sorry, but I just don't buy it. I get the sense that there has been talks, the talks may have stalled, and the club just not decided not to prioritise this contract because they need to get Alisson done, they need to get Van Dijk done, they need to get Salah done, and they need to get Fabinho done. Okay, that's the pure take on this. The other big bit that people are missing out here, the Liverpool journalists are normally embedded in the camp where the team is on pre-season training. But they're not. They're in England, and they need to fill column inches. This is the best form of clickbait. You take the Liverpool captain, you get an agent who's trying to drive the best contract available for his players, and you put the two and two together. I'd say what they've done is any progress. I say the question from the journalist was, has there been any progress in the Jordan Henderson contracts talks? The answer that came back from the club was, no, we haven't got anywhere at the moment. We're still talking, but we haven't got anywhere. And then they go and they check that story out on the agent side, on the player side, which is typically what they do because they not try to verify a story from two sources. As anyone who's watched journalism knows, that this is what they do. The agent has fed them more because he's trying to drive the talks and the price for his player in the direction that he wants to go in. May not have liked what was going on. And this is how you get your story. And that's how all the LFC journals are briefed, because they got an initial sort of heads up from the, not a heads up from the club, but potentially a question that was asked, an answer that came back, and then it leads on from there. The spiral, the horrific spiral of social media bollocks that then carries on. FSG have, like, Klopp has no power. Klopp is just wandering around a training pitch now, just drawing diagrams and saying, all they can do is coach players. FSG are standing there. John Henry has the PIN number to the bank account, the Liverpool bank account. He's counting how much money he can take out by not buying a single player. And I'm looking at even the comments that are coming in. FSG are penny pinches. FSG is this. There was a great comment made last night. In the last 12 months, we've signed Jota, we've signed Kanate, we've signed Thiago. When you win a league title, you don't need to sign 6 to 7 players on a seasonal basis. We literally need to sign one or two that keeps refreshing your squad and keeps improving your squad. And that's what the club is trying to be doing. Talks of refreshes and everything next season are just insane. We need to sign another midfielder. I think we all agree that we need to sign another midfielder. Jordan Henderson isn't going anywhere this season. He's probably not going anywhere next season. And I'd say there's a good chance he'll see out when he's 33. And he'll either accept the year extensions or he'll go somewhere else, be it West Ham or Burnley or
Sunderland,
Spurs or something like that, right?
Well, Mikey D says Neil Jones said in a piece he has it confirmed from Liverpool that the story is correct. It is the club who leaked the story and not Henderson's agent.
Bollocks.
But the thing is, and I think it was Joshua there said FSG could try kill somebody and you defend them. That's far from the truth, Joshua, on this channel.
I wouldn't.
There's loads of different viewers on FSG. We're in our group and we're in the people that do our podcasts. But if it's confirmed from Liverpool that the story is correct, what is the story? Because the story, the whole meat of this story is that Jordan Henderson held initial talks with Liverpool a couple of weeks ago, and they haven't progressed since. Now, there's many reasons why it couldn't have progressed since. You know, like Andy said to me earlier, he's on holiday and he's playing in the Euros. Now, I came back with Andy in fairness and said, yeah, but his agent will do most of the work. And then I had to think about it and thought, well, hold on, his agent can do as much work as he wants. But Jordan Henderson might say, look, forget about it.
And as I said to you, Gav, it's not a 9 to 5 job Monday to Friday.
100%. And
you know what I mean?
And you said that to me and perfectly. And that was absolutely fine. And at the end of the day, you will get players that will turn around and go, I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to play in the Euros and I'm going on holiday. And we talk about it when I come back. What's the hurry? With regards to defending FSG, now, I think, like, I can actually understand some people's frustrations with FSG. 100% I can. Because I believe that they should do something a bit more. I think they should do a bit more. Self-sufficiency is fine, but I think they should do a bit more. And that's just me. And that's where I kind of understand frustrations from a certain point of view. The fact that it's being linked back down to Wijnaldum. Oh, Wijnaldum left it. It's Wijnaldum. Wijnaldum was offered a contract and said no. He was offered a rise and said no. I think he's nearly tripled his wages going to PSG. If we paid Wijnaldum 180 or 190 grand a week, there'd be fucking uproar. And it brings it back to those players that are on two-year deals. Like, you could have put any of their names on that story this morning. Any of them. Because they're all in the exact same boat as Jordan Henderson. And are you telling me that if I wrote tomorrow morning, Virgil van Dijk's in danger of leaving Liverpool because talks are ongoing, but nothing's happened yet. Yeah, I could easily write that. But there's no way that we haven't spoken to Van Dijk and all those players you've named earlier. I just think it's a bit of a... it's just being thrown out there for the fucking sake of being thrown out there. Now, there could be some truth in it, but at the moment, as I said earlier, believed and, you know, understood and all this sort of stuff just doesn't wash with me. It really doesn't.
Do you know, lads, that Stevie G was kicked out of the club by FSG? This is the latest one I've heard. John Henry flew over from Boston and dragged him by the ear and threw him out of Melwood and said, you can never come in here again. That was it.
I think, to be fair, one of Gerrard's quotes was that he wasn't really happy that the owners didn't value him.
Well,
they only came to speak to him about, you know, extend his contract with 6 months left or something along them lines. He said he would have expected more from them.
Oh, schnookums. He was finished. it was over. It was time to move on.
The whole thing stinks of, you either want to progress as a football club. I agree. Jordan Henry, this is a non-story. And we're talking about it. It's a non-story. You either want to progress, you either want Liverpool to function as a fantastically run business with all the players treated as they should be treated, or you want someone to stand up and say, oh, you know, for the sake of what I did 10 years ago, I should be more valued, and that should be the measure of what I get going forward. I mean, people genuinely don't know what they want. No, it's my 3-year-old daughter who's just insisting on trying to peek over the table. She will not go to sleep.
Laura Duffy said that you have a ghost of your daughter. Mohammed says, Pete, I've just freaked your daughter open by itself and then realised it's the little one. But,
you don't want to move forward, or you want, I mean, people are not easily pleased. Don't get me wrong, you have to value people's contributions, but you don't put it in value in terms of things going forward. You show your appreciation, but at the end of the day, if you want to move forward and you want to win a football club, I can't believe we're arguing over someone that effectively has 2 years to run. Yeah. I mean, there's no danger.
And even our players come and go. Like,
yeah,
you know, especially 33-year-olds. When he's at the end of his contract, he's going to be 33, almost 34. 34-year-olds leave football clubs. And
yeah, but why? But this is what I'm saying. Why are we even talking about this?
Because
there's no. If you actually read into the words that are said, there's very little foundation to what is being said.
There's nothing being said.
This is what I'm saying. And like, don't get me wrong. If it came to the end of the summer and Jordan Henderson has left Liverpool Football Club because over a contract, maybe a 1-year extension, I'm literally, it's Shawnee sneaking in with Henry, he's not in Spain. Shawnee, of course, is in Carrick on Shannon. But if he leaves, right, you have to turn and go, what the fuck is going on? And rightfully so, the club should be, you know, not abuse is the wrong word, but they should be called up over it and said, hold on a minute, what is going on here? Do you know what I mean? Like, I seen a quote earlier, or a bit of written text earlier, I don't know who it's from, and it was like FSGC 2022 as the year when they fully refreshed the squad, and I'm sitting there going, hold on, if that's fucking true, now come on. Do you know what I mean? There's only so far you can go before you actually have to start asking serious questions. But right now, I've seen Maddock and I've seen James Pearce and Ornstein, and there's a lot of words in there that just turn you towards certain things. And listen, let's see actually something happen. Let's see Jordan Henderson or Liverpool actually say something, and then we can go from there.
Can I ask a question? What is it that FSG done on Gini Wijnaldum that they were very bold about? Like, what's the big story that he hasn't come out and told everyone about? What was that?
It's not, Andy. This is just a stick that people can use that want to find something to blame on the fact that they don't get shiny toys for Christmas every week. And this is all that is, right?
No, it's like, I don't
agree. It is, Gav. It is.
I don't agree.
I'll tell you what I think it is.
I think Gini Wijnaldum was at Liverpool and his contract was running down, and Jurgen Klopp most definitely wanted him to stay, right? Mm-hmm. He's on 70 grand a week, right? I think he goes and he wants, and they offer him, for argument's sake, 100 grand. And he says no. This is going back a year ago. And they come back again because there was big talk in January that he was going to sign a new deal. And they probably went to 110 or wherever it might be. And Klopp wants this player to stay. And the club said to Klopp, there's no problem staying, but we're not doubling his wages at 30 years of age. It's as simple as that. And Klopp had to turn around and go, well, listen, I want you to stay. I want him to stay. But I understand where you're coming from as well, because you have to understand from all parties what's going on there. You know what I mean? When Adam has said nothing, and there's actually no quote that I can remember of Jurgen Klopp talking directly about Gino and Adam's contract situation. All he's done is salute the player and, you know, send him on his way with his best wishes. So that's what I think happened with Gino and Adam. Yeah. But really, but the easy thing to do is to turn around and either blame Klopp and say, well, you mustn't have wanted him. Right? Or you turn around and go, why didn't you pay for him? Why didn't you pay for him? If you put Ronaldo on 150 grand a week at 30 years of age, right? You're in a Jordan Henderson situation where Jordan Henderson comes on and goes, I'm on 150. Now I want 250. If you're gonna double, let's start going at that ratio. Do you know what I mean? That's what happened with Ronaldo, in my opinion. And that's just an unfortunate thing. I didn't want Ronaldo to leave Liverpool. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things. I think club wanted him to stay, but I think the club tournament, we'll have him stay. But this is the rate. And Klopp had to hold his hands and go, well, yeah, he's probably asking for too much. What can I do here? And that was the end of it.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, there's no big story there, really. It's just the player valued himself more than the club. It was like when, I suppose, Milner left City. You know, he wanted more money. The club weren't willing to pay him that, and he got a free transfer and got the money he wanted. Is that not the same fucking thing?
Yeah, he's now signing for Paris Saint-Germain, and all you'd say on north of 150 grand a week.
Yeah.
But I don't get the hate towards FSG. Like, this is football. The key line in all these reports today was the club is run on a self-sustaining basis. The idea that FSG are pulling money out of the club and taking money out of it, go get your facts right. The club, what it spends is what it generates. What it does, everything it does is based around self-generation. The idea is that FSG don't need to put any money in. They get their fund increases in value by having clubs that appreciate in value. They need the brands to be really profitable and really well run so that their overall value increases and people want to put money into their overall pot that's sitting there. These are hedge fund managers. They aren't there to pull money out of the club, and they've never pulled money out of the club. And if you don't believe me, go and do some bloody analysis of the accounts, and you can see that they don't pull money out of the club. Right, the money that we make goes back into buying players. If we can't generate 200 million, then we can't spend 200 million. Right, you can see every single penny that's gone. So,
but most clubs are like that. I mean, in fact,
Manchester United are not like that.
Well, in Manchester United, certainly like that, because they're paying the out dividends. There's a lot of money exiting the club, but it's clubs like Chelsea who borrow from their owner. You know, they're in north of £1 billion in debt to their owner. Yeah. That has to be repayable on sale. I mean, that's just the way it has to happen. And City are the other exception. But I mean, aside from that, every club can only spend. You can't just take money off a special money tree. You know what I mean? And we're looking at the revenue, we're generating more than most other clubs.
Yeah, it's a very healthy situation.
It's looking to blame someone for your unhappiness that you don't get what you want. It's looking to blame someone because we don't spend 100 million, 200 million on players every single year, because that just isn't what the model is. Like, by all means, if you don't want to support the type of model that FSG have employed to build a club, you've every right to say, I want a rich oligarch. I want a state-run club that just pumps billions in and are going to exploit whatever FFP rules or fair play or whatever rules that are in place. And that's what I want. And I don't like the FSG model, and I don't want self-sustainable. But don't at the same time say that you're mad socialist and you think everyone should be equal and stuff like that, because that's the complete antithesis of that ideal and preference. What we have is as close to what you're going to get in modern day super clubs of a socialist style.
Let's be honest about it. Most people out there, and You know, most people just want, I mean, you look at the Newcastle situation. Newcastle fans have spent the last 15 years complaining that, you know, the club has been taken away from the people and Mike Ashley doesn't get the soul of Newcastle. And then with, as soon as they get a sniff of Saudi Arabian money coming in, they're crying because basically the Premier League have blocked it. All they want, like most of the people, is for billions to be pumped in to their playing staff. So they've been a little bit exposed. Listen, I'm not going to stand here and say that if somebody came along and decided they were going to spend 300 million quid, you know, in one transfer window, that I'd be complaining about it. But let's not pretend to be something, you know, that let's not pretend to have these values that you just don't, you know. I agree with you.
Okay. I want to move it along because some have said, can we move it along? And I think it's fair because...
Yeah, let's move it along. But just address that comment there. Look, we've been brainwashed by these owners. How can you believe billionaires? These people have no regard. Well, look, if they want to carry on brainwashing us with Champions League finals, Champions League trophies, and league titles, then carry on brainwashing us. I love being brainwashed by silverware. Carry on. Develop the stadium. Develop, increase the value of the club, bring in fucking players, Jurgen Klopp, brainwash the shit out of us, because that's what I want.
The only step you have from FSG is a Russian oligarch or a sovereign state. That's all you have. There's no in between anymore. Because
No fucking thanks.
That's all you have. Unless you have somebody with massive, massive personal wealth.
Right? What about Jeff Bezos?
The guy that sold Amazon or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Unless he was deciding, oh, do you know what? I'll buy them for $3 billion and I'm willing to put another billion in. Now, if he puts in a billion on top of that, it's no longer self-sufficient. And you're held to one man. And if that one man walks away, and we always knew what FSG were, and they have faults. There's no doubt they have faults. And I kind of take offense to people when they say to me, oh, you defend them too much. I don't. I defend them when I feel, I don't even defend them. I just discuss any topic that comes up, whether good, bad, or indifferent. And there's been loads of bad that I've hammered them over. I went fucking apeshit in January. Everyone knows that. I went mad for fucking 31 days in January and a little bit of the 1st of February. And then I got over it. And that was because I felt they weren't doing what they should have. But at the end of the day, Andy's right. They produce. They absolutely produce. And even at that, this is all for me a result of what happened last season and a frustration. And I have a frustration and the injuries and the lack of luck and stuff like that. And just a season where we still come toward, but it just felt empty. But I still look forward to next season going, if nothing changes on our playing staff wise, I'm fucking flying going into next season. I don't care who anyone else signs. I'm flying. Can we move on? Can I talk to you about pretzels?
Yeah, go ahead. This sounds like a way better track.
Do you want to wrap it into Chris Brax, which was, what is the worst meal you've ever had? So you can just, what's the worst food you've ever had?
Well, I can tell you something. I had a pretzel for the first time last night, and they are horrendous. Horrendous. Lightly salted pretzel it was. Really? And it just said lightly salted on it, and I ate it, and it was literally, I should have just took my sock off my foot and put it in
salted
my mouth.
It was just salted wood.
Horrible.
Can I ask you now, was this a proper pretzel or was it a packet of pretzels?
A pack of pretzels.
Nah. You haven't had a pretzel though.
I have. It said pretzel on the bag.
No.
Haven't had a proper Indian meal until you've put yogurt in.
A pretzel's about that size, Gav.
Ah, listen, this is just a miniature version. I'm only a small fella.
Even if you were, they're like bread. They're not like those hard things you get in a packet.
Oh, they were disgusting. I just wanted to tell you that, but you can move on to the next subject if you want.
Andy, since you're a foodie, I've seen your barbecues, the way you get the sausages in the bowl underneath the barbecue. So, what type of pretzels are? Do you like pretzels?
No, I'm with Gavin. I don't like pretzels at all.
Making news, I think me and Andy agree on food.
They're so pointless. Yeah.
Have you had a real pretzel?
Yeah, like a big massive one that's real salty and it's kind of like a donut.
About the size of your head.
Yeah. No.
No, they're not for me, man.
Pete, you own pretzels now?
Yeah, a couple of pretzels in Times Square, New York, first time I went there, just to see what it tasted like. You know, when you get there, you're like, oh, I want to see everything. And I just thought it was like bread dipped in salt for too long. Now, I appreciate that it was nice and soft and kind of fresh. I expected it to be hard, you know, like you'd see it
in a pretzel.
But I expected, this hard stick, a wood stick thing. But yeah, it was quite soft, but too far too salty. I mean, it's heart attack on a plate, to be honest with you.
What is your go-to bready product?
Oh, that's a good question. Oh, yeah, I miss that. I do have to say. Like
pastries?
No.
Bread.
Bready. A bready style product.
Oh, yeah. I would have kind of had a pretzel in the pastry section, though, even though it is is bready.
Sectioning this shit off now. They'll love this.
So, but what's your go-to? Like, what is your, if you have a choice, what is it?
Bread. What?
Yeah.
Depends what's on it. Like, I done a barbecue the other day, right? And I have this thing.
Let's say your barbecue was horrendous.
It was gorgeous, right? But I'm not like notions, like, you know, people putting stuff in tin foil and all and sitting it there and let that fucking go for an hour and a half. Oh, fuck off. Just do sausages and burgers and have the crack. You do all that sort of stuff.
No, don't put that in tin foil. No.
You lay it all out and all. But anyway, I have this thing where I love sausages with spice burgers on batch bread off a barbecue. Ooh. And it's fucking amazing. Trust me, lads. He's missing out. You see, this is where all the notions come because you live on the south side of Dublin. But honestly, lads, check it out. It's amazing. I'm not messing.
Spice burger.
Yes, spice burger.
That's a vegetable.
Are
these one of these joint
spice
sausages?
Spice burgers don't even qualify as a meat product.
Do you put, like, what, does it have to be meat that goes on the barbecue?
No, but you're talking about then, like a barbecue.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I love
you. Listen, you'll be doing this yourself.
Put a big cabbage on it. No,
come here. You'll be doing this next week in your back garden, but you'll have a screen around you so only your neighbors see you doing it because you do that stuff down your way. But seriously, do your barbecue and get some spice burgers and just sit them on the barbecue. Do you know that's the heat's going out of the barbecue? Just sit them on it there and for a couple of minutes and let it. Oh,
generally,
man.
When the heat's going out of the barbecue, I'm finished eating.
As the heat is going out.
Fat pig,
you.
Like, no, seriously.
As the heat is going out.
Stick on the spice burgers and sausages.
What do you mean as the heat is going out?
Do you know the way it's roasting hot? When you put it on, like, it's ridiculously hot. Like,
you know when you're finished eating, Andy?
Barbecues when they're hot, you shouldn't be near them.
Are you talking about the disposable one or something?
No, this is a proper barbecue. I went out and bought, I actually bought the wrong call. I ended up buying, like, it was like burnt wood that I put into it, but it looked grand. It was,
what do you mean? You get lava rock kind of lasts.
Great show for bagels. Great show for bagels. Jerusalem bagels from Redfan 72. What a show. Bagels.
Well, pretzels are a Jewish food and bagels are a Jewish food.
Bagels are the hottest thing in the world.
Oh, God. I was going to go there.
They hold heat very well.
I'd say, now, if you want to do attack a country, if you just toasted a load of bagels and threw them at the army, you'd take out half the army.
Because they wouldn't be able to hold it. Loads of people don't know, anyone outside Ireland probably don't know what a spice burger is. Just type in Walsh's spice burgers into Google and you'll get everything you need there.
New sponsor in there.
Spice burgers are designed to just soak up oil. That's what you put them in a deep fat fryer to soak up oil.
No, you never put a spice burger in a fucking deep fat fryer.
That's what they're for.
They're not. No, that's out of the chipper. The best way to do a spice burger is either on the grill or fry them on a pan.
Did you ever put crispy pancakes on your barbecue?
I've never eaten pancakes.
They just disintegrate.
Lads, I'm going to leave it here with the spice burger. Seriously, next time you do a barbecue, you know when you do all your sausages and your burgers and they're all done, and then you go, well, I'm done. Then just stick the spice burgers in, just leave them, and then come back a couple minutes later, stick them on batch bread with... Put a sausage in half, put the spice burger on, put all your dressing, whatever you want, on back bread. It's amazing. And the second thing
Puts fish fingers in his barbecue.
stick spice burgers in an omelette. Unbelievable as well, by the way.
Mr. Bordzoid.
Come here. Andy, your bready product is just nothing. Gav's is sticking spice burgers and sausages in a batch. So basically,
batch bread is my favorite thing. Sorry, that was a long winded way of telling you batch bread.
Jesus wept. I said bready product. How many times do I have to say?
Does a waffle, you know, those waffle things you get? Not a potato waffle, you fucking prick. When you go to one of those stalls in New York, and like the pretzels, they always, have a, a waffle where you put ice cream on it and Nutella or
random
jam.
Cheese is a blue waffle that you like?
It's a Belgian waffle. Belgian waffle. Belgian waffle.
Like a crepe, is it?
I didn't know. I didn't know his album was back in business.
It's basically pancake mix, but like a joint waffle of a pancake. Yeah. That's what it is. And you get cream on top of it, and you can get jam on top of it, and honey on top of it, and everything like that. They sell them in town. Definitely try them out. But I'm going with, for me, go-to bready product, if you have a choice, sourdough bread. That's just, it's the most, it's delicious. And you can use it in so many different ways. It's perfect for making soldiers, which are boiled eggs, and it's also great for making French toast.
But it doesn't matter what way you fucking use it. You're just
It's a multi-purpose bread, and you put a bit of butter on and a little bit of sourdough. You can never go wrong. Toast it, not toast it. It's just the best. It's like
what a show. Gav Walsh, what a show. It's black pudding. The most Dublin. We went to Colombia a couple of years. I couldn't believe they actually eat it too. I think they're the only other race in the world that actually eat black pudding besides
don't you eat black pudding in the UK? Like if you say pudding on your breakfast, they eat black pudding, whereas we've got black and white pudding.
We have white pudding. I don't think a lot of people use it. But anyway, the weather's meant to be lovely all week. Try the spice burger thing on your barbecue and then come back to me before you start laughing because it's amazing.
The weather's like it's for Irish people now. This is
it's the absolute hands down hottest I've ever experienced in Ireland, in Dublin.
Was it 28 or something?
100%. Oh, I don't know. The car said 32 today.
It's the humidity of it all, I think.
I don't know what it is, but we played golf on Saturday and I've never played golf in such heat in sort of Ireland. You know, the only time I've ever experienced that was once or twice when we were away. Even at that, it's not normally as hot. It was at 8:30 in the morning. It was outrageous. And the lads on the putting green were already drowned in sweat. Madness.
Do you know what? Yeah. It's the first time ever Ireland's had to deal with swamp jock. So like in Florida, any of the sports people and all have to really struggle to adjust to swamp jock, which means that your undercarriage is very wet all the time and it gets really bad chaffing, right? I'm not even lying about this, right? So for the first time ever, Andy, we're having to deal with swamp jock, and it's not a comfortable thing because it's not handy to get anti-chaffing sort of creams and stuff like that to soak it up. You're lashing the Johnson's baby powder on you and everything when you're going out to try to keep yourself dry. It's horrible.
Don't wear shorts. You're not allowed to wear shorts anywhere. I mean, here it's just normal. I mean, even in offices. Now, I'm not saying Liverpool shorts or Ireland shorts. I'm talking about like khaki shorts or, you know, even combat shorts. It's just a norm. You guys dress, you know, for autumn in summer, and then you complain about the heat. You've got a Ben Sherman on and maybe a t-shirt underneath it. Like,
my brother lives in Spain, and you can't wear shorts in his village.
He must walk in a coal mine
in his village. An actual village has banned shorts in Spain.
If you're walking around, nobody wears shorts around the village. Like if you're wearing shorts, I'm actually not going to say the word because I
believe those singed pantalones. That's where he lives.
I'm afraid if I say the word, it might be a racist word. I'm actually not sure what the meaning is, so I'm not going to say it. But anyway, you're called that name. It's basically for you're a tourist.
No, Geary's, they say. Geary's. But no, here...
Yeah, is that a racist word? I don't know.
No. It actually means like magpies that come to steal your thing. There's no racial connotation at all. Okay. But no, even if you're working for Facebook here, and you wear shorts and not a vest.
Andy's just told us that his brother lives in Spain, and in the village, you're not allowed to wear shorts.
Oh, they be walking around me jeans and they be fucking painted onto me.
Why is nobody wearing shorts?
Because my brother just says, don't put shorts on. Then you know, fucking shorts on this village, dear. I'm going to be fucking ran out of the place.
Stop it.
I think they're all laughing at your brother.
I'm telling you now, the place would be absolutely heaving and nobody's wearing shorts. Everyone's just walking around with jeans glued to them.
Can you wear, but come here, do they wear budgie smugglers when they go down to the river?
What?
Because the Spaniards don't wear swimming shorts. They were all wearing budgie smugglers. Like there's not a single one of them that wears normal swimming shorts. They're just walking around in speedos constantly, right? Speedo Mick would just look like a normal bloke walking around that village. It's either jeans or speedos. There's no in between. Like that's just the way it is.
Is this Mick that you're talking about?
No, he lives in England.
And they don't wear shorts in his village.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's brother number two. No shorts in the village. I can't get over you saying.
I'll get him onto the pod next week.
100%.
It'll be Nilo in a pair of glasses, a big mustache.
Oh my God! I can't believe it. This is unbelievable.
Right, there's a story breaking at the moment that somebody has been arrested for.
Don't go there.
Thing, and we're not going to discuss it, right? Because Gav is hitting the panic button underneath the table, right?
So much legal, no.
Yeah, but in a completely unrelated story whatsoever, did anyone see the fella in Africa who was arrested for being a vampire?
Yeah, I did see that.
Oh, did you? He's killed at least 10 or 15 kids, and he was supposedly feeding on their blood and stuff like that. And they found him after a 10-day manhunt. He was in a hole, and they pulled him out, and he was wearing an Everton jersey. You can't ride it, right? Like, honest to God, there's pictures of it in the paper and everything. I sent it on to you. But honest to God, I was out at a barbecue yesterday. Wasn't as fancy now as yours with spice burgers and sausage bat sandwiches.
I'd say he's had a shy time as well. Come on.
And I was talking to the fellow there, and he turned out he was an Everton fan. And I started telling this, and he had his head in his hands. He was just so sad. He said he doesn't know what's going on with the club at the moment. It's just you can't. There's no words that can describe it, but it's great. At least Rafa is there, and we can move along from that. Right, where are we going to after the Everton vampire spice burgers batch Andy's shortlist town in Spain? What are we going for next? Do we want to take a serious football question? Because somebody said even on Goldbridge he talks about football. No, he doesn't. Just shouts and screams at the television. It makes you go and do a click on the things. The same as the journalists do.
But we're just talking about what people have put in here. Like, yep. if it's all football, we talk all football. If it's not football, we won't talk football.
Yeah. Luke says you won't see Rafa wearing shorts, Andy.
You see Rafa all the time.
Yeah. He just doesn't come from that village. What happens when those people go on holidays from the village? Do they bring shorts with them so they can, like, do they take their 2 weeks and they wear their shorts when they're out of the village, or do they come back and, like, they're disowned if they've worn shorts? Imagine taking out the holiday pictures. What are you doing wearing them? What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I must look into the whole history of that. Well, I don't know. I just say, all right, whatever. Mm-hmm. Not wearing shorts.
Right, lads, where are we going to next? Come on, people in the chats, give us a topic that doesn't involve
shorts,
allegations, or shorts at this stage. We've
vampires.
Chair Colin Pascoe is banned from that village.
He should be.
Norman asks your favourite player that we nearly signed but didn't, i.e. Costa, Worthington, Bowyer. Is there a player out there that we nearly signed that you loved and then we didn't?
Conor Palanca.
Conor Palanca?
Yeah, it would have been great signing.
The one for me is David Villa. I would have loved to see him at Liverpool.
Yeah, it's a good show.
When Rafa was there. That's the one player that I thought, when we look back at it, that's the one that could have made a massive difference to us, because he played in off the wing. We had Torres there as well at the time. And like, we were, as much as Dorkout was a great workhorse and everything, like, Villa was just top notch.
Who did we get instead of Villa at that time?
Antonio Nunes or something.
No,
what year was it?
It was like
2008.
Was it
8-9?
Was it Mark Gonzalez?
No, was Torres at the club when we were linked with David Villa?
No, I thought he was.
No, this was before Torres, surely.
No, because David Villa was after Torres. Because Torres breaks into the Spain team before him. Mm. We linked with David Silva as well, yeah. That was
David, Not a bad show.
Damien Duff was a great show. Because we actually, that was the season we ended up signing Al-Hajj Diouf instead of Damien Duff.
Wasn't Michael Laudrup linked with Liverpool heavily?
Famously, yeah, in 83. Straight from Ajax, I think. That would have, you know, that would have...
How can Alex Teixeira be in your... That, like, how was that make... He just went to China, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's, for us, Shane, he's a player that you would, he would have loved to see sign for Liverpool, but he didn't. Because he was. Yeah, but surely,
like, you know, the player went somewhere else and we actually got to witness how good he would have been for us. You know what I mean?
That's
the
a
biggest
good one.
Crime is Anelka, I think.
That's a good one. We can do this because Andy is the best at world games, and I think this could be one for us, Andy. If we had to pick players from our squad to do athletic events, because obviously this is led on from inside Liverpool and look at all the lads being really big and powerful and strong, what would be the ideal activity for each player in our squad?
So is this like, is this like Olympic sports basically? Yeah.
100 meters.
Original Olympic sports, not like, you know.
No,
they do fucking mountain biking and all now in the Olympics.
No, let's stick to the core ones, like the 4x400, like 4x400 meter relay, for example. We've got four lads who would waltz away with the gold.
Salah,
yeah,
Van Dijk,
Mane.
Oh, Salah, man, Van Dijk
is unbelievable.
Chris Brack, wheelchair racing for Kate and Chamberlain.
The 4x400, I think it'd have to be. I think you'd let Salah go first.
Yeah.
Then he passes to Van Dijk, who just cruises around and keeps us ticking over.
Yeah.
I think Gomez is fast. Yeah. I'd put him in there, and Sadio to just
take it home.
Pair at home, yeah. That'd be my definitely. Four.
Definitely. That new big lad, throw him into a wrestling ring. No one has beaten him. Konate.
Yeah,
so
just
big.
Thrown, lads. Just thrown. Lads. It's going to be carnage next year with him.
High jump, Joel Matip.
Yeah, he has the body frame for it. You know that real sort of long, lanky, long body frame for it.
Great show.
Henderson, I'd stick him in dressage. You know, not show jumping now. You know the ones that they make the horses prance around the oak.
Yeah. 10,000 meters, Andy Robertson.
Yeah,
walk away with it, Eamon Coughlin style. Walk away with it. Fella is relentless.
Henderson would have to be good at the whole long distance thing as well.
Would it be
Thiago fencing for Thiago? Thiago would be deadly at the fencing.
Yeah.
Shaq for the pole vault. I would have gone more for the cannon fire. You know the ones where they used to stick people in the cannonball and shoot.
No, I think he'd be brilliant at. What's the one where you swing the thing, the ball on the. Is it shot? No. You swing the ball on the chain.
Hammer throw.
Shaqiri on the hammer throw, I think he'd be deadly.
As the hammer.
Who? What else is there? Triple jump and long jump, isn't there?
Oh, what a shot. Bajan pops Milner for the marathon. What a shout that is.
Yeah, Milner just called all day.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Trent.
Archery.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say. I think he has precision. I think I go with Trent for the archery.
Yeah.
What else is there? There's the pole vault, isn't there? The pole vault.
I don't know. I'm frozen here.
Yeah, no, you're okay. Frozen. Yeah, you're fine. We can hear you now.
What would Bobby do?
Bobby, you do, in the gymnastics.
Martial art.
No, I think in the gymnastics. You know what you do with the gymnastics and you have the string and they jump around with the string. Bobby would look elegant doing that, man. I think he'd be fucking deadly looking down that. I think Bobby would be amazing at that.
Volleyball.
Did we pick one for Thiago and Fabinho?
I said fencing for Thiago.
Fencing, definitely.
Long jump for Fabinho.
Yeah, long jump is a good one.
Yeah, long jump, because you have to be really tall and long legs. And Fabinho's legs are massive. They're like go-go gadget legs. He'd be able to just stand and just step off it. Who do we have? Anyone?
Oh, the volleyball, the beach volleyball, the doubles. I definitely have Alisson in there. Yeah. But probably Robertson. I think he'd get around and throw himself around a bit. And Alisson would be just powerhouse. So I'd go with them two for the beach volleyball. 800 meters for Bobby.
Rowan. Would there be anyone that could do the rowan? We haven't mentioned swimming, and you always see loads of swimming at the Olympics. It goes on for about a week, and it's non-stop. Like, we must have some decent swimmers.
I'd say Curtis Jones would be deadly at the swimming.
Do you reckon?
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
I just do. He looks like he has that physique to be a good swimmer. You know, not small, tall enough, lean.
Actually, you know, Shaqiri would be great at the female gymnastics, because he has
can't
that... What?
Can't get that image out.
Get him in there into the female thing. That doesn't work.
Can you not know?
2021. You seem to be able to pick your agenda these days.
I have a topic. If you want to move on.
Go on.
So we seen this thing the other day on the World Wide Web, and it seemed to emanate from Australia, and it was basically, should we ask our toddlers for permission to change their nappies? And I couldn't get over it. And I thought, this is a wind-up, right? So I went and I just Googled it. And there was actually real news stations running like 6, 7, 8 minute reports on this about how we should be asking our kids, is it okay to change our nappies? I don't know what to do anymore.
I am convinced there's two things, right? The people who are actually involved in this as parents have obviously smoked way too much, right? Because anyone that has a toddler, anyone that has children and has lived through the nappy stage will understand why you are incapable of asking a fucking two-week-old baby, do you want your nappy changed?
Or can I have your permission to change
it? To change your nappy. Like, if you don't change your nappy, social services will be around your house and you won't be seeing your kid for much longer. Like, it's outrageous. This stuff is insane. Insane. Well, Dave Lennon puts one in the thing. Have we seen the pregnant man emoji? I don't understand it. Why do we need a pregnant man emoji? Can someone please tell me why we need a pregnant man emoji?
Why? These are going too far. They're going too far.
What's it for? I can't ever think of a message I'm going to send you a pregnant man emoji.
No,
outside of me just sending a pregnant, yeah, as Dave Lynn says, what happens though, Gav, if the toddler says no to getting
you just leave them in the nappy, man?
Oh, it should be the toddler asking you. Like, I mean, we've all been there, fucking shit everywhere, like, you know what I mean? And there's no one around, and you're on your own trying to deal with this crap, like, and no matter where you move, the fucking kid moves, it should be them asking you for permission.
Well, I just thought it was a bit mad when I seen it, but I don't know. So that's about
I just don't get it. Just don't get it. Like, I cannot understand why you would ask a toddler who can't talk to you, would you like your nappy changed?
Olivia asks,
the world is changing. This conversation, if this was played back to us now in 10 years, we'll all think we're mad things. Like, you know, it's got to become the norm that
the kids in parliament, debating.
Olivier asks, if LFC were down 1-0 at halftime in the Champions League final, which personality would you want to give the halftime speech? For him, it'd be David Goggins.
Who's David Goggins?
I don't know who David Goggins is.
It's a great question.
But if you had a personality, if you could pick one famous person, which famous person would you pick to give a halftime speech if you're 1-0 down in the Champions League final, Liverpool?
Well, first of all, you're only 1-0. Do you know what I mean? I mean, Liverpool have been in worse situations. Mm. You know what I mean? Well, God, who would you want? Other than Klopp. Do you know what I mean? Other than Jurgen Klopp.
I think that's a very hard question.
Mm. It's a brilliant question, Olivier.
I think it depends on who the opposition is. There's a massive range. Right,
okay, so so we're 1-0 down to Manchester United in the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Okay. The only thing that can save us is a big personality, famous or otherwise, come in and give a speech to help us win the game, who would that personality be?
Does his personality have to be kind of outside of football? Because, like, you know, obviously you're going to be looking at...
Yeah, well, you wouldn't pick, like, another manager. You're thinking... Yeah. So I presume you're looking at someone in the celebrity world or some, you know, in that sort of realm. But it could be anyone. It could be, like, your dad, because your dad does a deadly speech. Mm. You know, he's done speeches at 11 weddings and he's never let you down or something like that. It could be something like that. There's loads coming in. Morgan Freeman has got a shout. Bob Paisley, of course, has got a shout. Mel Gibson. Mel Gibson gets a shout in there. Phil Mitchell gets a shout.
Jerry Adams.
Jerry Adams gets a shout. Okay.
Imagine him saying, don't fucking lose. You'd be afraid,
For the same reason you'd want to get Ian Paisley into roar. Like, if you were just a bit sleepy or whatever, just him start roaring at lads, like, to just get out there and just be terrified, not to play well in the second half. So that's for a bit of balance.
Delay Sean Connery gets a show. Yeah. Gok Wan gets a show. I think that's a very hard question. You know, because you have to think, like, who's better than Jurgen Klopp doing that speech, you know, sort of way.
Gok Wan would be interesting. Somebody's put Vince McMahon in there because they're all about WWE. They're not real people.
Al Pacino, Denzel Washington.
I'd want Denzel Washington, yeah.
Definitely. Would you want Denzel Washington? Do you not think Denzel Washington just plays Trump the same?
we got eight black players in the room. I think they've been inspired by Denzel.
I don't, because I think if you get behind Denzel Washington, he plays the same role in every single film, right? So I think if he comes
which Denzel Washington do you want? Do you want Training Day Denzel Washington, which is what I would want? I'd want Training Day Denzel Washington.
It's the same Denzel Washington. Like, they're basically, they know what type of speech he's going to give. I want somebody to come in and David Brent.
Sharon Dunbar has spot on.
Stone Cold is the right answer.
Stone Cold.
Yeah. You know that program that he does?
Oh.
Catch You Down the Road, whatever that's called. He's amazing in that. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Is that the one where it's an obstacle course?
Yeah. And they've just got these animals all over America, like, running up hills and fucking, it's horrendous. Like, look at what they did, climbing fucking poles and all sorts of shit. And it'd be fucking bollocks thing, like Stone Cold, like, just like encouraging the whole way around. And then if you don't win, you should, like, catch you down the road. Brilliant.
I've seen a few for Jared Butler out of 300. If you're going to go that route, you're going to have to go with the better one, which is the Russell Crowe out of Gladiator. The only problem is, if Russell Crowe rocked up to the changing room now, they'd have to wheel him in.
Get through the bleeding dog. It
wouldn't have the same impact.
Well, if he hit the ground, it would.
Ryan Tuberty. That would be insane.
Father Ted gets a show. John Father Cleese Ted. Gets a show.
John Cleese not a bad show.
Gemma O'Doherty.
If everyone gets a slap, Gemma O'Doherty.
You better know this.
All right, so Gav, you're going for, who are you going for? Some of the
I think it's hard. I don't know. I don't know who I pick. You know, I'm thinking of someone that the players would take seriously, but isn't football related.
Batman
is very, very hard.
Batman
gets a shout. Jim Royal gets a shout from the royal family. Basil Brush, Engelbert Humperdinck gets a shout. Rocky, just for the Everton fans. I don't know. I genuinely don't know. Like, in all seriousness, I think it's very, very hard to do. I think you probably need someone that's done it at the very, very top out of their sports, I think.
Vince Lombardi.
You know, I think...
Phil, Paul O'Connell. Vince Lombardi.
Paul O'Connell's not a bad show.
Paul O'Connell's, but Vince Lombardi's, if anybody watches any of the documentaries on Vince Lombardi, in terms of one-liners and gene lads up, he's the one all day. Shanks modelled himself after Vince Lombardi, so that's a good spot to go if you're going to bring a sports person in. Gordon Ramsay would be great, screaming his head off just at lads. Veranda Cheese, that's somebody else put that into the comment, that whatever it is. And why isn't Phil talking about his Mandela effect now? Because we talked about it before, we're not going to go back and start talking about it again. Phil Jackson, that's a great show from a different sport. But I don't know. If we're talking about 1-0 down, Klopp is probably the man to do it, isn't he?
Yeah.
Like, think about who are you?
There was a manager in Hurling going back a couple of years ago. I think his name might have been Cody.
Yeah, he's still there. Brian Cody's still there.
Is he still there?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he'd be a good show because he's done it all. But fair play. Can we go home now?
One more topic.
Okay.
Lance Armstrong. No, free word. No, fair play.
Not him. Not him.
Right, one more topic, lads. And we'll do a random one. Do we want to do a football related one to finish off, or do we want to go?
Quick football one. If people throw in random stuff, the player you're looking forward to most in Liverpool's pre-season, because they've confirmed another two games today, haven't they? Athletic Bilbao, I think, at Anfield, and then the following day, I think
Osasuna. No, it's the other way around. Osasuna's first, and then Athletic Bilbao, because Osasuna is a tribute game to Michael Robinson. I'd say you'll have celebrities, not celebrities, but you know, ex footballers turning up to play. Mm-hmm. I'd be amazed if Aldo doesn't turn up to play some part in it. And
Graham Souness will be there. His best friend in the world. So
yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'd say we'd see there'll be some of the older players, but it's probably that's going to be more closer to some type of maybe one half with some of the players and the other half down with some of the ex players and stuff like that from both sides. That's cool. So I'd say Elliot, Saul, Curtis Jones, Kanate, the massive
Virgil player. Van Dijk. I just want to see minutes.
Absolutely. All over that. I can't wait.
I like the Elliot show. I do like the Elliott show, but the one for me, I think it has to be Sadio Mane. Mm. I think I have to see him back after a rest and flying again.
He wants to see him more than you want to see him.
Yeah, Sadio Mane wants that to happen more than anybody else. For me to be happy.
I don't know who I'm looking forward to seeing in pre-season. What I like pre-season for is the random lads who have great pre-seasons, and I always think to yourself, I wonder now if he'll get a sniff and then you never see them ever again.
Markovic is coming back for pre-season.
Is he, yeah? Mm-hmm. What's he bringing the water? Karius, a lot of excited want to see Karius in pre-season. Fair play. Naby, to see if he's not injured. Yeah. Awanyi, this fella Awanyi, those pictures that have been coming, everyone's talking about how big of a monster Kanate looks like, right? But Awanyi looks like the biggest player we've ever had, and he's only about he's been on loan for the last 4 years, and he's just massive. And I'm like, there, if you wanted somebody completely different,
if he has pace and he's supposed to have pace and he can smack a ball, I'm like, give him a game.
That's a great shout by Norman, Polish kid, Musielewski.
Musielewski.
Anything I've seen of him, he looks
outrageous. We nearly lost him to Arsenal, didn't we?
Musielewski. Yeah, he signed his first professional deal during the week there. He's what a player he is.
How
old is he?
17.
17, 18.
Yeah.
For me, I actually don't really care about these preseason matches. One thing I've learned over the last 5 or 6 years is that preseason under Klopp is really irrelevant, and it's all about gearing up for the open day of the season. I'm way more excited for the start of training camp with the Bears and the first preseason friendly on August 14th, just to see Justin Fields playing. Like that, to me, I'm more excited about that. Well, I've been waiting for that for ages, so that's where I'm going with that one. So Justin Fields is the player that I'm most looking forward to seeing in preseason.
Did we get any random stuff before we go?
Biggest, I think Chris Brack asked, what's the biggest thing we've fallen for, our biggest joke we've fallen for?
Paul Pesky Salido being on a Canadian coin.
Karen Brady's husband.
So there's a guy in here, he's in the chat, he's been in tonight, Olivier, and we were talking one night, we're on a draft, and we were talking about players, and Paul Pesky Salido come up. I think it was a draft or a quiz, or it might have been a quiz. Olivier said to me, Jesus, Paul Pesky Salido, you do know his face is on the fucking pound coin or something or whatever in Canada. And I was fucking amazed by this. I thought it was the best thing I've ever heard. And I was like, are you for real? And he was like, yeah. He says, he's an absolute hero in Canada. And I was like, that is fucking amazing. And I just went about my business thinking Paul Pesce-Salida was on the 50 pence coin in Canada, until he told me a week later it wasn't, and I was absolutely devastated. That's probably one of the biggest things I've fallen for live on air, by the way.
Andy, no, something has to have gotten you.
No.
Nothing gets me.
My dad used to tell me that you could hear the grass growing, and when he told me this story, he says, listen, and I swear I heard the grass growing, like, because he was so convincing. I think it was a grasshopper or something making noise. I said, there is now, that's the grass growing. And for years, I just, you know, that was just like, okay, that's a given now. And I went around telling people that, and then people were kind of believing it as well. You know what I mean? But that's how rumors start. But that's off the top of my head, that's about it.
Okay. Pete, what did you fall for? Well, I heard today, that I thought you were a singer once.
Exactly, today. I mean, Jesus. I fall for, as you know, Phil, I'm so gullible. So gullible. You know, somebody gives me a bit of news, it's more out of hope than expectation, especially when it comes to Liverpool. And I tend to jump in, oh, yeah, we're signing him, happy days. And then I look on the internet and, yeah, it's April 1 or something. I fall for that every single day. Every single day.
I don't believe anything, so I very rarely
you never did, though, Phil. So. You never did.
Just don't believe it. Like, you could see something live and just, nah, that didn't happen.
I think that's why normally, you know, I kind of doubt everything first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Recently, you see that thing with the, I shared, that they can actually change the advertising boards depending on what country you're watching in.
Yeah, you can.
Even though there's a video to show you the technology and how it happens and how they do it, and it's a full explanation, I still don't fucking believe it.
I can't grab with that. And Gav done the research, Gav. I know you did.
No, I couldn't believe it. And it wasn't me. It was somebody else that came in and said, look, this is how it works. And it was like, it was unbelievable. It was unbelievable. Really? Do not put that comment up. I know exactly what you're laughing at. Do not put that comment up. The board says a red circle around you if you pissed in the swimming pool. No, I remember years and years ago being told the swimming pool water turns blue if you pissed in it. Yeah. I remember that.
You'd be still absolutely shit yourself. Just in case they actually put that in, that's a real thing.
Yeah.
The lads here, Phil Mandela effect, tinfoil hat, Casey believes nothing. There's certain, Mandela effect is real.
That's a great show from Red Steve. That's it's real. Great show.
There's a difference between not believing something and something being real. It's like
when I don't even know what this is.
No.
It's a theory that says that the different versions of history, it's like there's a blip and it changes. Every time you remember something, you remember it differently because of this blip. I mean, Phil explained, and again, it's another one where I was like, I think I need to read that book again.
I remember the Mandela effect stems for there's millions of people who remember the death of Nelson Mandela being announced in the 1980s, well before he died, because obviously he was subsequently freed and became the president of South Africa. And I remember the news report, right? So I'm one of those people that's there. And it's the Berenstain Bears or the Berenstain Bears, right? So that's go and look it up, Andy. It's there. Otherwise, I could be here all night.
Do you know, there's something just occurred to me. Do you know, like, there's always someone you know who tells stories that they were there for, but you know they weren't there.
Yeah.
And they tell the story so often that they absolutely have fully convinced us that they put themselves in that position so often that they were there.
In Greystones.
Challenged, they were like, no, I was there. You weren't there. I was there. You weren't there. I definitely was there, and you can tell at that point, like, they're actually telling the truth. So you know they fully believed themselves that they were there, that they told people so for so many years that they were there for something.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, could be a thing.
The people mixing Nelson Mandela up with Steve Biko, to be quite honest with you, they don't know their black history, so they're just mixing
No. No, this isn't a racism thing now, Pete, right? This is a straight up, this is a memory thing. And it just changed, right? It's like when people say about the that line in Star Wars, Luke, I am your father. And then you go back and you look at it and it changed it. And it doesn't exist anymore.
What's Kevin Sullivan talking about there?
Oh,
God.
I know what he's talking about.
Yeah, no, we know he's talking about. Like, yeah. I don't know why people keep
most,
on
most important. There was a question earlier on, just so you know, fair play, D. This is one I wanted to get to ask.
Andy, is that what we didn't talk about earlier?
Yeah, Andy, there's a genuine question there. Do they play football with pants in that village, or do they wear shorts when they're playing football?
Oh, no, like I'm talking about just going around.
No shorts allowed in this village.
No, I'm talking about just going around in shorts. Like, obviously, you're allowed to wear shorts if you're running or playing football or something. But if you're just going about your business wearing shorts, that's just a non-runner. You don't see anyone doing that.
Yeah. Boss Man Steel points out that Spice Burgers are 12% beef. Yes, they are.
That's what I mean. They're not even a meat product. Barbecues are all about meat. You're never going to have a vegetarian barbecue, are you?
Well, yeah, but you see people putting corn on the cob on barbecues.
Yeah, I put corn on the cob on the barbecue myself tonight, but then that's all not the meat. Chicken on it, didn't
many people that put corn on meat.
Yeah, but I put my spice burgers with a load of sausages. What's the difference?
There's fuck all meat and sausages either.
No, there is. It's not. There is the ones I buy.
Oh, yeah, where do you buy them?
Yeah, not your tenement ones.
Moggerly's from the Moggerly's. Only buy meat in Dublin.
Denny, only the best. More meat and Good Friday.
It's no peace allowed in that village. Dan Jay says they play everything in Speedos. That would be a sight in itself. Somebody asked earlier on what's in white pudding that isn't in black pudding. It's the blood.
Yeah,
black pudding is giant. You're getting the sort of winey color is blood, and blood is yummy when it's made up in black pudding. You can't beat a bit of blood, and then the white pudding is made up of suet and other stuff, barley and bits and stuff, anything you can find on the ground, really, anything just to fill up the last bits of meat that they crunch up and throw it in, and that's the white pudding. So I always go for the old black pudding. You can't go wrong with that bit of blood into you.
Yeah.
Look at this sham,
David Lennon. with Gammon and X. David Lennon, of course. Do you want to tell them what that's in relation to, Andy? Without naming names.
Okay, so I won't name the establishment. All right. So me and Gav, someone in the comments there, we're talking about we're going to play golf in the north of Ireland, in Great Britain, on Sunday. And we were saying, will we stay over or not? So a hotel was recommended. So yeah, the grub was great. So I said, fair enough, I'll have a look.
Can I just stop you there? The establishment, establishment was recommended. You didn't say to yourself, grand, I'll have a look. There's no fucking way you've done that. You went, I'm going on here and I'm going to find everything I can on this place that I can absolutely hammer David Lennon with for hours on end. That's what happened.
Well, the first thing they jumped out, there was no online booking facility. You actually had to fill out an application form.
You had to send them a letter.
And we all know what that was trying to suss out first. So then I looked at the menu and the first thing I seen on the main courses was gammon, steak and eggs.
Gammon steak, and it said, was it gammon steak, and it said served with
a ring of pineapple or something, and I nearly puked in my mouth. I says to Dave, I am not staying in that place. Can you recommend anywhere else? Even like if we ordered something totally different off the menu, but somebody else happened to order the gammon, like an egg and pineapple, or they just got absolutely sick. The sight of it, the smell of it. There's no way I was, and then sleeping in it as well. No. Needless to say, I'm not sleeping in a hotel that serves gammon and eggs.
Yeah, it's just not happening.
And then he's like, sir, what's wrong with it? Like, it's like, if you never had bacon and eggs, I was like, yeah, for breakfast, then, but not a main course, not your literally your dinner, your main meal of the day. You're going to sit down and eat gammon steak. Like, seriously,
no food culture in Northern Ireland.
You know, you need to.
That's a bit harsh now. And I'll tell you why, because they invented potato farls, and I'm not having that against them, because potato farls are one of the nicest things you can have when they'll fry. They're like little parts that they're sort of like, before they invented potato waffles, they're like little sort of slips of potato that you can throw in the toaster instead of putting them. They meant to grill them or fry them, whatever it is, right?
And but do we call them potato cakes?
No, because
some potato chippers make them.
Potato cakes are thicker, right? Mm-hmm. Potato farls are just like slim. Instead of using bread, you can have potato farls. Bleeding gorgeous, they are. Absolutely gorgeous. So.
The picture of the hotel that I found then, there was literally like 8 security cameras across the front of the building. Like, not even just one in each corner. Like, there was just cameras. Yeah, I think
it didn't go well to Dave. It didn't go well for Dave, let's just say.
This place is good. Like, there was a good point, nice field, good place to stay in the heart of the village. And I was like,
in the heart of the village? Could they wear shorts?
Why would you need 8 cameras outside the hotel? Come on.
Why would you need one?
Yeah.
The gammon themes are everywhere.
Gammon. Gammon is just a mad one. I don't get gammon at all.
Ah, serious. I think I can smell it right now.
I know it's
not. No, that's the grass grown. That's the grass grown you can smell.
No food culture. No food culture.
I remember my mom making me gammon steaks when I was younger, and not once in my adult life have I ever thought to myself, "Do you know what I'd love now?
A gammon steak."
Yeah. A gammon steak. Yeah.
That wasn't the second time, obviously. Do you know what I mean?
It's just like a huge, big, horrible fat rasher. Without the nice parts of the rasher. You know the round part? There's not a round part at the front of the rasher. It's just a joint one of them.
Yeah.
It's just
Imagine eating that, like, seriously.
Okay, so lads, thanks for all your comments tonight. So many of those comments we couldn't read out for obvious reasons. we're quite clearly aware of what's been going on online and all the rumors that have been flying around. But we obviously can't speak about stuff like that. So thanks for that. Lads talking about Scouse Pie and stuff like that. Scouse Pie, can I just tell you, is just a really shit version of an Irish stew. So there you go. I'm sure.
Scouse is nice. It's not as good as stew.
I'm going to try a potato farl, though.
Potato farl, definitely.
You'd like a potato farl.
Where do you get them?
Yeah. You can get them in Super Value. They're in a packet.
So you get them in. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, all right.
They're just a normal shop thing. Okay.
In fact, the next time, don't try bash, get a potato farl and stick in a spice burger, two sausages.
And how are they stored in the shops? Like, am I going down the cold aisle here? What am I going down?
It's in the.
Are they held in the fridge?
No, the potato farls are in the sort of bready oil.
Okay.
Are they? No, I'd say they're chilled.
Am I thinking of the soda farls?
No, these would go off. They would go off.
No, they are. No, they're in. They're in the. I'll dig you out a pack of Gavin. I'll send it over to you in the post.
All right, cheers, Pat.
Are they not kind of moist?
Hang on a second. It's still a bit early for moist things on a podcast.
If
this isn't the only fans, Andy. Now,
no, if they're in the dry section, it'd have to be in it like one of those sealed bags.
They're in a sealed bag, but as far as I know, they're in the bready section. So. Right. Lovely Gav. Lovely.
I'm going to try them. I'm going to shops tomorrow.
Go to the lady in the shop and say, where is the
potato farls?
In your relation to Mick Farrell? No.
They're down beside the gammon steaks. That's been the forum.
They're nice with fried eggs.
Okay. I don't eat fried eggs, but
they're nicer than gammon steaks with fried and pineapple with fried eggs.
Honestly, like, if you're eating gammon steaks, you need to have a look at yourself.
Listen to me. From Pete over this side of Barcelona, say goodnight, Pete.
Good night, Pete.
From Gav up in this side of the world, because he was down the bottom, he's now up the top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I started off down there.
I know, Gav. Gav is going to be back on tomorrow night or one of the nights. Gav's always on. He just loves his new mic, so it's great. And right up above me.
That's the air there. He's gone.
Yeah. Well, right up above me here is Andy Young. Say goodnight, Andy.
Good night, Andy.
I'm putting my hand up your arse. That's been the forum. I've been your host, Phil Casey. Thanks for all your questions tonight. It drove the podcast along and gave us something to shout about, because obviously everyone, and I could even say after 20 minutes, everyone was getting sick of talking about Henderson and FSG and stuff like that. So it's been nice to break up what's going on. I'm going AWOL for the next 2 weeks. So you just won't have to put up my Johnny Bravo / Elvis /
Morrissey.
Morrissey. You're gonna post pictures though, of course.
Just put a picture of Morrissey.
I'm going to do a big race at the weekend, and I'm going to send loads of pictures, and I'm going to send them all to Gav as well, just because Gav loves pictures, right? And then I'm going to send them from the top of the mountain and everything, just so all you have it, right? So there goes an ambulance. So I'll be gone for next 2 weeks, so he's going to get on with having proper podcasts without me. And in the meantime, Gav, what we've got going on for the rest of the week?
I don't think there's anything tomorrow. Tuesday night, I don't think there's anything. Wednesday's the midweek fix. Thursday is the Carnage transfer agenda stuff. And Friday we have pre-match and post-match shows.
Tell you, that midweek fix is getting better and better every week. Really, really good.
Getting James better this week, aren't they?
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
That was great last week. Great last week. Really, really
good. Did you get asked on, did you?
No.
He hasn't been asked on that show yet.
No. It was on a couple of weeks ago, but no, it's getting better and better every week, I have to say. Jamie's on the ball. Really, really good stuff.
Phil, you were on it, weren't you?
No, I wasn't on it, Andy. I'm like you. Just because we're shit at this, so we don't get asked on. To be fair, I was asked on last week, but you weren't. So I didn't want to make you feel bad. I was just trying to make you feel.
That's okay.
Dan J says no post match tomorrow, Gav.
No, we're not going to do anything with regards to them two matches. They're only 30-minute matches, aren't they, tomorrow? So we're just going to watch them and enjoy them. And if something comes up, we might come on tomorrow night. We've nothing planned for tomorrow night, but the midweek fix on Wednesday.
I think
transfer stuff towards the end, then the pre and post match on Friday.
And new shows, Gav, are you going to be walking people through what the new shows look like? Or what's the story there?
Yeah, you'll get the first look of what our new shows will look like. They won't all look the same. On Wednesday, the midweek fix on Wednesday will be the new software and the new design we're using as a trial run. So I won't be on. I'll be trying to produce it in the background and try not to make a mess of it. This show, the Fatback 4, the Carnage, the midweek fix, they'll all be on this new software come next season. They all look different to each other, and they all look very different to what you're looking at now. So of course you've got the pre-match and the post-match stuff coming up next season, and you have a Friday night show with Avi and Connor where they literally talk about every sport under the sun for an hour or an hour and a half, which looks like a cracker. And if you don't get Ric Flair on, I'm going to be very upset.
My show, we're starting my show, aren't we, at some stage?
Yes, your show is in design at the moment. You've started off being very reasonable with your demands, which I know once you go and run up that big hill and come back down, the demands will double or treble. So I'm waiting on that. I've ordered some paracetamol and some sedatives for myself, but that is in design at the minute. And
we might have a new legal team on standby.
No, I hope to have that ready in the next week, I would say.
If everyone enjoys rants and bants, they'll enjoy the new show.
Well, if you enjoy, I think if you enjoy very quick and very multiple arguments,
you're going to enjoy what goes on. It's going to be something different. I think we'll sort out what night we run it on, Gav, before we launch, and we'll do something, and we'll probably do a trial run. What we might try to do is once we get it going, we might actually see if we take in some of the older viewers, even if it's just for a trial run to see see what it looks like before we actually put a show fully live to make sure that we have it nailed down. Because
we have the function there where we can literally record a show and keep it private, but give it access to certain individuals to watch and give us feedback on. So that's not
exactly, because it is different to what we've done before. So before we actually go live, so it doesn't look shit, we'll sort of maybe try to do something like that.
Red Sea says I'm getting very lazy, two nights off a week. There's just nothing happening, Steve. If we think of something tomorrow night, I'll get it on, if that's okay.
To be fair, Red Steve, you're very getting close to what grinds my gears with Phil. So I'm basically just ripping off a Family Guy episode and just running with it to see how it goes. We'll get into it. Right, that's been the show. Thanks again to the lads for coming on. There's lots on the channel. Spread the word, spread the news. And if you haven't paid for your ticket to pack out Anfield for Siena, you know where the links are in the link. Go and do it. And we'll get there. We'll get this thing across the line as well. All right. So good night. God bless. See us in 3 weeks' time. Sports Social Podcast Network.